I give up trying to answer all your questions. I've stopped reading them, actually, because it is unbelievable the number of people who are freaking out to one degree or another about my schedule and when I'm hosting and if I'm on vacation and if I'm changing time slots and if I'm leaving the after hours show. Well, first of all, after hours goes where I go. After hours doesn't exist without Amy Lawrence. So I guess you'll figure it out eventually. How about this? I learned this phrase a couple years ago. I think there was a producer whose mom said it to him a lot, or maybe it was a guest whose mom said it to him a lot. You get what you get and you don't get upset. So that's how it is during the summertime. And like you, I need time off during the summertime as well. And so, no, I'm not on vacation this week, but I will be on vacation coming up before football starts. How about that? It'll be a guessing game every night. You get what you get and you don't get upset. Football's coming though, so don't worry. Once football starts, you know, we allow the NFL to run our lives here on After Hours because that's the best way to do it. If you fight it, you just waste a lot of energy that you can't really afford to waste. Jay and I, producer Jay and I, had a big meeting on Sunday planning football and getting ready for the football season. And it took quite a while. It was a pretty long video call that we did. We went through a bunch of our priorities and our preparation and some of our production needs and wants. And so it was a big chunk of the Sunday afternoon. And as I was texting mom before I came into work, I said, spent a couple hours talking to Jay, getting ready for football season. She responds with, isn't it too early for that? No, mom, it definitely is not. Football is sneaking up. Football's creeping. Actually, football's always creeping. It's creeping on our schedule now 24/7 and 12 months out of the year. But for this, I guess the discussion that we're having, for this particular point, the fact is that football begins in 2.5 weeks. And I've got a vacation between now and then. And so, yeah, it's time. And actually, I wanted to have our meeting last week and it just didn't work out. So we are in full football prep mode because the season is nearly here. And do you know, 3 weeks from tonight, we'll be immersed in the first NFL Sunday of the season. Seriously. So it is a big week of brainstorming and planning for our 22 football coverage. I'd ask you for your suggestions, but I don't really want to see them. So that's what's happening this week on After Hours before I then start getting ready for my vacation. I saved it till the last second. I never do this. I never save my summer vacation, my summer break until the last second. I usually take it in July sometime. And I've taken a couple of days here or there to spend time with family. In fact, this month is the first family time I've had since Christmas. Actually, I take that back. Since my Grammy Helen's birthday in April, some of us were together in Wisconsin to celebrate her 100th. But since then, it's the first family time I've had. I have not seen my mom since Christmas. I hadn't seen my nieces or my sister-in-law until earlier this month. It had been over a year since I'd seen them. So I'm trying to make up for lost family time and doing a lot of it this month. And then also taking a vacation to visit Houston coming up right before football. If I have any kind of travel problems, well, I may miss the start of football season because I am literally staying until I have to come back Tuesday. And the NFL season kicks off on Thursday following Labor Day. So yeah, backloading the time off and backloading some vacation. And so no, I'm not quite back to the normal routine, but pretty soon you'll have all of my attention and most of my affection. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket Can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we've also got our YouTube channel that we've done a lot of work on this summer. And actually, we're including that in our planning for the upcoming football season as well. Because when things get extremely busy and the schedule becomes really tight, we want to make sure we set aside time for our social media, including our YouTube channel. So that's named after the show. Also easy to find, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A couple of you, when I posted about the NFL season being 3 weeks away, some of you pushed back with, no, it's baseball season. I didn't respond with, duh. I love it when people tell me, I don't think he was mansplaining, but I love it when people tell me how, no, it's this or it's that. Duh. This is what I do for a living. Trust me, for the last 20 years, my entire life has revolved around the sports calendar. But it can actually be two or three or four seasons all at the same time. Not the weather, but sports. Especially in October. You know, October is the only month of the year in which all four of the major team sports in the U.S. are in operation. And so, yes, we have to make room for football. Essentially, the NFL and college football, they become this big 40-pound gorilla. Actually, gorillas are way more than that, right? 600-pound gorilla? 700-pound gorilla? Wasn't there some show about a 800-pound gorilla or something like that? The NFL becomes this behemoth in the center ring of the circus and refuses to move over. So you just have to crowd in around the NFL. So it's coming, but it's not here yet. You know, some of you lamenting the end of summer, not me. I enjoy lazier weekends. I will give you that. But I am so ready for the heat and the humidity to be gonzo. I'll take the cold anytime. In fact, I might need to move to, well, not Siberia. And Alaska actually has warm weather too, as we know. But man, I am ready for summer weather to be gone. I'm okay with the temperatures getting cooler. Actually, when my brother and my nieces were visiting late last week, we did a concert in New York City on Thursday night, actually at Radio City Music Hall. So it was a lot of fun to go into the city with my fam and to take photos, even though the city was wall-to-wall bodies and not all that much fun to navigate. But anyway, even as we were doing that couple of nights that week, so I had company at the house for a few nights, we were able to open up all the windows and turn off the AC because the temps got into the upper 50s. It was fantastic. I'm ready for that. Bring on all of the fall weather and the humidity. Kill it. Kill the humidity. Let it die. That's what I say. All right, so find us on Twitter or Facebook, and then our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Love to catch up with you, and it's always good to hear from you, except for with all your questions that I can't keep up with anymore. So other than that, though, you'll figure it out. I have great faith in you to figure it out as we head through this week and we get closer to football. But yes, yeah, still a lot happening on the baseball diamond. Everything from Shohei Ohtani with a stomach illness to the Mets and Yankees on a crash course for another edition of the Subway Series, though I hate using the word series for two games, but they've split up their series, two at Citi Field, two at Yankee Stadium. So we're getting to the back half of that full four-game series. Also, the Astros and the Braves in a big clash over the weekend in Atlanta. You want to know what I heard? I don't know if this is true. I'm just going to pass along what I heard. So this is total hearsay on my part. When I was driving home from a rafting trip that I took on Saturday, and I'll tell you guys a couple of the fun stories from that. It was a bold move by me. I've never done anything like this before, but it was pretty cool. Anyway, I was driving home and it was about 70 miles. So I was listening to the radio as I was driving and I came across the Mets broadcast with Howie Rose and Wayne Randazzo. And they're talking about, well, they're giving scores for all the other games that are going on in baseball. And they're talking about the NL East and the standings. And Howie Rose said, he mentions Robert Ford and Steve Sparks, who are the Astros broadcast team, who are now in the visiting booth at Truist Park, the home of the Braves. And he says, roaches, as what do you say, cockroaches? So many cockroaches as big as, and he mentioned some other animal. I can't remember exactly what the animal was, but a big animal to indicate that these cockroaches were mammoth and ginormous. In the visiting radio booth at the Atlanta Braves home park. Is that some kind of gamesmanship? Because that is disgusting. Ew, are people leaving food? Gross. And you know how it is with cockroaches. A, you can't kill them. And B, where there are two or three, there are many, many more. They are in colonies, cockroach colonies. Oi, so I don't know. I don't know why he would make that up. He didn't say he was joking. He didn't laugh about it. He said it in a fairly serious manner as though he were kind of grossed and freaked out by it. And was offering sympathy for the radio team of the Astros because they were now working in such conditions. That's icky. I mean, I don't love spiders. In fact, they freak me out, but I'd rather deal with a spider any day over a cockroach.
I think there's a lot of, almost anything, I think, in this life I'd rather deal with than having to come face to face with a cockroach. That's like
face to face.
That's like the biggest fear, is it not?
I don't know if it's my biggest fear.
It's gotta
They're
be up there.
Relatively harmless. It just means, I mean, you usually can't, A, they're hard to kill, and B, it's an infestation generally. There's never just one. There's usually a lot more of them. And they can be nasty and disgusting. I'm not saying that I want to have cockroaches, but
they hiss.
Okay. Well, still, I think there are other things that I would be more afraid of. But just the idea that they would be in the visitor's radio booth at a Major League Baseball park, I don't know if that's, as they say, some type of gamesmanship by Yikes. The Braves. Yikes would be right. Ew, it just gave me the heebie-jeebies just to hear that.
If I was sitting in that radio booth calling a game and I saw a cockroach like crawl across my feet or come anywhere near me, how could you focus your attention on the game for the rest of that point on? You're going to keep looking down.
One time I was sitting courtside at the Tennis Hall of Fame and a match was going on. I was the match announcer, the match MC, and a mouse crawled right across my, I wasn't barefoot, but I had sandals on, crawled right across my foot, my sandals, and I couldn't do anything because I was sitting courtside. I couldn't yell. The ball was in play. And so, you'll never, ever, ever in your life be more impressed with my self-control than that day when I didn't utter a peep. My face, though, my friend and I, I'm just like, I was yelling, but I was yelling silently. Ah! Yeah, I wasn't yelling like that, but my face was. Ah!
There's no way. That's impressive.
Thank you.
Press on like that.
I mean, they would have. Well, they couldn't kick me out because I worked there, but there was a match going on, and I was sitting literally 20 feet from one of the competitors, so I couldn't say anything. Yeah, freaking creepy though.
Impressive.
Here's the thing, living in Georgia when I was younger, we lived in Georgia for a little bit. In fact, the Athens area, but we also lived in Macon, Georgia. For those of you who are familiar with the geography, the Georgia geography, I remember we lived in a trailer for a little while. That was where I got chicken pox, where we did not have air condition, and where, yes, we also had cockroaches. So we were relatively poor when I was growing up. And so we had to deal with them too. I remember them and they're certainly freaky, but to have them in a visitor's radio booth at a baseball stadium seems awkward at best and disgusting and disturbing at worst. I hope it's just a nasty rumor, but I can't imagine that Howie Rose would just make that up. I
tend to trust Howie Rose. That's a bad job out of Atlanta. They got to fix that.
They got to do something. You can kill them.
You could try.
Well, no, you can't eventually. It just
I don't know how.
No, it's about bombing. Not like bombs that you would drop on Never mind. I don't know where you draw bombs.
Can't they survive nuclear attacks? Isn't that the big rumor?
Yeah, but you can smoke them. I guess I should have said, but those smoke bombs, you can't actually get rid of them. It's not impossible to get rid of them.
I don't know. This is a major league ballpark.
Not really the bombs that you drop from airplanes, but the...
That's what it takes.
No, what? We're not blowing up a major league ballpark. All right. So anyway, I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but I was flummoxed when I heard Howie Rose say that. I didn't drive off the road or anything, but wow, wasn't expecting that. And so Howie Rose dropped that little gem on the Mets broadcast over the weekend. But mostly I was talking about Astros and Braves and the fact that those two teams, the World Series champs and the team that right now has the best record in the American League, were locked in a battle in Atlanta. So we'll get to that series, plus the Mets and the Phillies in the NL East, and then the Yankees. Boy, I'm not sure that the one win on Sunday does a whole lot of good, but it was highly entertaining to see Aaron Boone lose his cool. Although producer Jay is sure that it was staged. What? Wait, do you also believe that the Will Smith Oscar slap was staged?
Not sure yet.
Not sure
There's
yet.
There's definitely still a chance.
You're waiting until what? There's a tell-all book 5 years down the road?
Yeah, something like that.
Eat that ass.
Just not sure yet.
Okay.
Still a little fishy.
It's always fishy in Hollywood. Second weekend of the NFL preseason, and we'll update you on some of the quarterback battles as well as the injuries that happened this weekend. Tom Brady is expected back this week, Todd Bowles says, earlier in the week rather than later in the week. And as you may or may not know, I think some of you certainly do know this, I was not here late last week to react to Deshaun Watson's settlement with the NFL that will suspend him 11 games and also force him to pay a $5 million fine. We'll hear from Deshaun Watson, as well as from Andrew Berry, who, of course, is one major piece of why the Browns have given Deshaun a fully guaranteed $230 million contract. And I would be interested in your reaction, even though it may be old news to some of you now. So you can find us on Twitter and Facebook. I promised photos on Facebook tonight. I did put a few up on Twitter over the weekend. Oh, my goodness. I think I need to retire from sports radio and become a photographer because I am mesmerized by photos, especially of weather and inanimate objects. So on Saturday, I was coming back from my rafting trip and I stopped at this lookout point in the mountains that surround the Delaware River. And I got some amazing scenes of a sunset with these gorgeous clouds. So if you haven't seen it, I'll retweet it now, A-Law Radio, so that you can see it, because it's pretty amazing. And then also, when I was in New York City with my family late last week, I happened to be walking down a street in Midtown, and it's one of those buildings in front of me, towers in front of me. It's got those blue windows that provide incredible reflections. I am staring into this reflection, realizing I'm seeing the Empire State Building in almost a near perfect reflection. It's amazing. So I was able to snap the Empire State Building with the clouds above it, but it's reflected in a building in front of me when it's actually behind me. It's so cool. So if you want to check out those photos here, I'll retweet them twice now, or retweet them both on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I promise that I will put them up on Facebook as well with the help of producer Jay. And one more thing, it's actually a bit of a milestone that we're marking here on After Hours this week. So there's a lot to do. We're going to head to the desert coming up in 45 minutes because Kyler Murray was once again wearing a headset. And J.J. Watt has more time to reflect on how to get snakes out of his bathroom. We're just starting off the work week. It is actually a more typical work week, if you know what I mean. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The 1-2 pitch is grounded to the right side, base hit. Scoring is Nootbaar. Here comes Tommy Edman. He's going to score. and the Cardinals pick up two, and safe at third base is Goldschmidt. A perfect slide by Goldie at third. And again, Nolan Arenado comes through, this time in the seventh. And the Cardinals take the lead 5-4.
Base hit through the right side there was huge. Didn't try to do too much. And, he knows when to take his shots and when to just take whatever's given to him.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Right now, life is good if you are a Cardinals fan. St. Louis Cardinals have padded their lead atop the NL Central, and to a man, they keep talking about how much fun they're having. Well, yeah, winning is definitely fun. Anyone will tell you that in professional sports, winning tends to cover a lot of personality conflicts, tends to cover a lot of guys who may be disgruntled about contracts or their contract situations. If you're winning, it tends to be a hell of a lot easier to be around your teammates and then to be going through the grind day in and day out. The Cardinals are in a good space right now, and I am all about St. Louis making the postseason so that we can see Albert Pujols on the October stage again. No, he was there with the Dodgers last year, but this is St. Louis. This is his home. This is where he won two rings, of course, built the bulk of his Hall of Fame career, and it's also where he is inching ever closer to baseball immortality.
Bumgarner with the pitch. And Albert swings, lifting a high fly ball. Left center field. That's hit deep to the track, to the wall. It's a goner. Albert Pujols hits a home run with one out in the second inning. Number 691.
Five home runs with 12 RBIs in his last eight games.
Whew. Red hot. And the 3-2 pitch to Albert is hit hard and deep. Left center field. Did he get another one? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. A two home run game for Albert Pujols. This one, the line drive variety. And he now has 692. He is absolutely amazing.
That's what you're supposed to do with baseball, just have fun. You know, at the same time, when you don't have fun, you put too much stress on yourself and bunch of great group of guys here, so it's pretty awesome to do that.
Albert Pujols says he's retiring no matter what. He doesn't care how many home runs he finishes with. He said he never thought he would get to this point. This is an interview that he did with USA Today before he went out and cranked 691 and 692. You guys, he is eight away from 700, would be only the fourth player in baseball history to hit 700 home runs. He is now breathing down the neck of Alex Rodriguez, so to speak. Rodriguez finished his career with 696. Four more to tie A-Rod, five to pass him. And don't tell me there wouldn't be a ton of people who would love to see Pujols pass A-Rod. I hope including A-Rod himself. And he only needs eight more to reach baseball immortality. The calls on Cardinals radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So yes, he says no matter what, he's retiring. That he's glad he announced it before the season. He's not changing his mind. He's having a blast. But this is it for him. He hit number 690 on, was it Thursday? Thursday that he hit 690? Or Friday. It's Thursday, maybe. And hit 691 and 692 on Saturday, which gave him six dingers in the past 10 days. He now has 6 weeks to hit eight home runs. Oliver Marmol, as well as others around the Cardinals organization, are saying he's going to do it. No doubt he's going to hit 700, and I cannot wait. Here's what else I love. The rest of the sports world is just starting to wake up to it. We've been talking about this since before the season began. I was doing CBS Sports Minutes about Albert Pujols hitting 700 with the Cardinals before the season ever started. And It looked to be a real long shot early in the season. Do you know he only had a half dozen home runs in the first half of the year? And now here he is, just eight away, with two games in the last, I think, 10 days, in which he's maybe even fewer days than that, in which he's had two home runs. He barely missed another one on Sunday. I'm all about it. It's my feel-good story of the summer. You want more people to tune in through the stretch run in September on into October? Well, put Albert Pujols front and center. Did you see how baseball responded to him, how the fans responded to him at the All-Star break?
I love baseball.
At the Home Run Derby.
And I love you.
Thank you. I love you, too. We got to get down and dirty in the NL East. Let's hope there's no cockroaches. And also, the Yankees have won 10 of their last 30 games. 10 of their last 30. According to Aaron Boone, the AL East is still up for the taking, meaning he doesn't think they've secured it. Now, despite how horribly, abysmally they've played since the All-Star break, they still own an 8-game lead in the division. But it used to be a lot heftier than that. So the Rays, the Jays, even the Orioles are doing work trying to catch up with them. I don't know if the rest of the division has enough time, but I do know the Yankees don't look so formidable anymore. And in fact, Brian Cashman got booed on Sunday at Yankee Stadium. This is the team that set this torrid pace in the first half to the point where people were talking about history and maybe the best record in Yankees history, but not just that, challenging for the best record, the most wins in a season all time. Well, so much for that. Now the Yankees may not even have the best record in the American League and may not be a favorite going into October. Oh, what a difference a couple months makes. So we'll update you. Plus, we're going to dive into the NFL preseason with some QB news. We have a couple of fun announcements, just teases, really, as we hurdle our way toward football season. I know college football kicks off even earlier than the NFL. Glad to have you with us. Thank you for all your questions. I know that means that you miss me or that you're nosy, one or the other, but I suppose there's an element of care to being nosy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I got to quit answering these questions about this state and this perplexion, and we got to play better, period. And the great thing is it's right in front of us. It's right here, and we can fix it. It's there, and we can... we can run away with this thing. And we got the dudes in there to do it. We got to do it. If we don't score, tough to win. And I'll answer these same questions. Am I perplexed? Yeah, I am. We got to do better.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Aaron Boone has had it. He's done. He's over it. And there's even a little desk pounding for the manager of the New York Yankees. I think that was organic. Producer Jay thinks it was staged, or that it was forced, at the very least, that he did it on purpose to try to make it very clear that he's frustrated, but that it looked completely unnatural and did not appear as though it was an actual reaction from Aaron Boone to how putrid the Yankees have been playing
right in front of us
since the All-Star break. No way. That's the point. Is it's that awkward because it's so out of character for Aaron Boone. And let's be honest, he's generally awkward a lot of the times in front of the media anyway. Regardless of whether or not it was staged, it still became a big headline on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then on into Sunday as the scuffling Yankees were trying to avoid a sweep at the hands of who? The Toronto Blue Jays. Inside their division. You may believe that the AL East is up for grabs. You may agree with Aaron Boone when it comes to that, or you may think that the Yankees still have too large of a lead. Regardless, the Yankees do not want to go into September and then on into October playing as poorly as they have. They're giving up most of their real estate that they established during the first half. And while one win does not turn around this major slide that the Yankees are on, a win is a win is a win is a win.
Now, here's the 0-1. Swung on, there it goes. Deep right, it is high. It is far. And it's gone. He hit his first home run. It couldn't have come at a better time. Benny. Oh, Molta Benny. In the right field seats. And that's raining Benny's from heaven. A two-run blast. And the Yankees now take a 4-2 lead. It'll be an 0-1 to Bradley. He hits a ground ball to second. Gleyber Torres throws to first in time. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Oh, did they need that victory?
We needed this one. You know, obviously we've been scuffling as a team, but you know, everybody has each other's backs in there. Everybody believes in each other and in the staff, and you know, we just want to come out here and win baseball games, and you know, hopefully this will kickstart it.
That's Andrew Benintendi and then John Sterling on Yanks Radio. So two runs in the seventh to push the Yankees past the Jays, and on the Yes Network, Benintendi admitting, yeah, we're trying to turn this thing around, but it's not easy. We're scuffling. That was huge. So the Yankees avoid the sweep, and Aaron Boone was not pounding the table after Sunday's win.
It definitely was a, you know, one of those moments, you know. No secret what we're going through. That was a big blow in an important game. A lot of really good things happened today on both sides of the ball to allow us to win a quality game. And, you know, hopefully it is something that gets us moving, but you know, we'll see.
A win's a win. You know, it's a good one. It feels better, you know, especially after, you know, the basketball losses we've had and, you know, dropping that series. But no, I think you can just go up and down the lineup, and each guy, you know, played a big part in that game.
It is just the 10th win in 30 games for the New York Yankees. You're going the wrong way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Giancarlo Stanton is now doing a rehab stint. So he may be back in the Yankees lineup, but the frustrations for the Yankees are obvious to the point where you've got Gerrit Cole punching the dugout roof a couple of times, and that was even before Aaron Boone was pounding the podium during a post-game press conference. That's what you want, your ace.
It's right in front of us.
Hitting the dugout, and your manager. I guess no one really cares whether or not the manager breaks a hand or hurts his finger, but the fact that the Yankees GM was booed while the team was retiring Paul O'Neill's number on Sunday, they still top the division by 8 games. But Yankees fans, the natives are getting restless over the way the team is playing. And so is Boone, clearly. It's been the offense. Just when people were going to point all fingers at the pitching actually started to come around, and we're getting quality starts. The Yankees were. And so now it's been the offense that's completely disappeared. And that's what's doomed the Yankees in their last couple of postseason appearances, their last couple of Octobers. And so 10 wins in their last 30 games. And now they have the first place Mets with a better record invading the Bronx on both Monday and Tuesday. And the Mets, while they may not have won 7 in a row like the Cardinals, they're still the team to beat in the NL East.
2 balls, 2 strikes the count. Trevor May delivers, and a pitch swung on, line to left. It's pretty deep. Canna turns. He looks up, and it is gone! Gene Segura leaping in the air around first base, throws a fist in the air, loses the helmet. He's put the Phillies on top with a pinch hit home run. It just got over the wall, and the Phillies lead it 8-7.
I don't know if I've seen Gene Segura this fired up. How big is that? Swing and a liner to right field. That's a base hit. It's going towards the right field corner. McNeil on his way to second. Castellanos plays the ball on the warning track. McNeil is going to slam the brakes on at second. Swing and a drive. Well hit to left. Back goes Maton. She is gone. Do you believe this? The Mets have done it again. They take the lead. Swinging a high fly ball. Well hit to right. Castellanos going back. And there she goes. Home run, Brandon Nimmo. And the Mets have a two-run lead. It is 10-8 New York.
It's a really good feeling. And just feel like I haven't had too many like big clutch moments like that this year. So it's nice to finally get one.
You know, they just didn't give in. A lot of people after the rain delay and the way the game was looking would have come in and, you know, come back out and, you know, not had that intensity. But our guys thought there was a game there to be won.
You think? Buck Showalter, seeing his team with 10 runs on 16 hits and a rally against the Phillies. You hear Scott Fransky first calling that home run by Segura. Producer Jay and I happened to be on the phone doing our football planning meeting, our sesh, as we call it, while this was happening. And Segura was dancing around the bases like he just hit a walk-off. He runs to first base. His helmet goes flying. He's jumping and leaping and celebrating. And it was the eighth inning. And they weren't done.
I don't know if I've seen Gene Segura this fired up.
See, my point. And then Howie Rose with the Mets rally in the ninth inning as they score three runs again in the ninth, and they answer and get the win. So Mark Canha with this big moment, he says, haven't had too many of those this season. Buck Showalter remains calm for the most part, and the Mets still have that lead atop the National League East. And it's huge for them, too. Not so much because we know that the Braves are capable of putting together a run and have multiple times, but also because the Phillies have been hot, too. Even in the month of August, they'd strung together a bunch of wins. So for now, the Mets' lead over the Braves is 4. So the Braves lost to the Astros on Sunday, but Atlanta with 8 wins in their last 10. And no doubt the Phillies will be back because, again, they've shown some great life since they made the managerial change, even though they did lose 3 of 4 to the Mets in this weekend series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Another note from Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani was dealing with a stomach illness and didn't last very long against the Tigers in Detroit, though the Tigers may have had something to do with that.
Riley Green batting, first pitch, swinging a fly ball, right center field. This one's deep. How about it? Way back and gone! An absolute bomb over the deepest part of the right center field wall. Bangs off the brick wall right underneath Harwell. Tigers take a 1-0 lead. The 2-2 pitch, swinging a fly ball, right field, heading toward the corner, and this wall is one hop at the base of the wall. Badu is in. Rounding third, heading home is Green. He's going to score. Reyes around second, heading to third. Throw, not in time. Victor Reyes with a 2-out triple to the base of the wall and right. 3-0 Tigers here in the fourth.
3 runs on 5 hits and 4 walks. That's what the Tigers generate against Shohei Ohtani. Jim Price with the calls on Tigers radio. So he only lasts 4 innings. He leaves with a stomach ailment, and maybe that was the major reason why he was so vulnerable. But yeah, AJ Hinch saw his Tigers make quick work of the reigning AL MVP.
It's nice to get in early and get the lead, especially against a really good pitcher. I think it just calms the unknown of are we going to be able to put, you know, multiple at bats against him at a time.
So a stomach virus is what they're calling it for Ohtani, who, as I say, gets hit early by the Tigers and also just not super accurate. So Kurt Suzuki pinch hit for him in the fifth, something you don't often see with Shohei. And then he got replaced on the mound in the bottom of the inning and said that he didn't feel well all day. He just didn't want to miss a game for that reason. And he refused to blame the stomach virus afterwards, but didn't last past the fourth. We had one more cool moment for Major League Baseball on Sunday night, and that was in Williamsport. Why does that sound weird? Little League World Series. Yeah, in Williamsport, PA. I don't know why all of a sudden that came out of my mouth and did not sound right. But it was an opportunity for baseball to connect with the stars of the future, if you will. And so it was the Red Sox and it was the Orioles. And neat atmosphere and neat to see all the little kiddos. And really, if you've ever listened to a crowd that was mostly kids, couple ways that I've had firsthand knowledge of this. I mentioned being an MC at the Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport, Rhode Island. Actually, was doing that for more than a decade. On Kids Day, not only is the decibel level so much higher, but it's a shrill noise when it's little kids who are screaming and yelling and getting excited. Now, it wasn't quite that way in Williamsport, but in this Little League Classic that baseball was playing, it was an opportunity for the Red Sox and Orioles to connect with these kids. And in many cases, they were interacting with them, too, and to put on a show for them there. And you could definitely hear the kids cheering in this tiny stadium in Williamsport. It was awesome. It was just a different tone, a different quality, a different happiness, if you will. Speaking of happy, is Kyler Murray happy? We're going to find out coming up next, After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.